These songs that we're going to sing are from the Old Christ in Song hymn book. Now, I don't know about you, but this church used to know how to sing. Notice what it says right here at the beginning of 543. It says at the very top, spirited. I like that. You ready, buddy? You tuned up? This is my son, Anthony. When I lost my hair, genetically he lost his. Isn't that amazing how genes can just so match together? It's pretty incredible. Now, I want you to sing this song because these songs are wonderful. These songs inspire with hope. These songs inspire with courage. These songs are sermons. Somebody give me an amen. These songs are sermons. Ready, sir? Do you need me to hold this up so you can read it? Okay, let's do all three together. Okay? Do you know this song? All right. Sing it like you mean it. It's spirited now, okay? When the cross seems hard to carry, lift, brother, lift. Or the burden never tarry, lift, brother, lift. Lift the cross and clasp it tighter, lift. Brother, lift, lifting makes the burden brighter, lift, brother, lift. Now, let's stop for a minute now, in case some of y'all have forgot how to read music. When you get a little thing like this, a greater than sign over a note, that means you punch it. Okay? It doesn't mean it's a mathematic thing, it means you punch it and put some emphasis on it. You see, the meaning you're going to see today, the meaning of a hymn is to get you into praising God and worshiping God. Second verse. Duty's call is self. Okay, punch it now. Lift, brother, lift. Half the battle lies in trying. Lift. Brother, lift. Sing it now. Lift the cross and clasp it tight. Punch it. Lift. Brother, lift. Lifting makes the burden brighter. Lift. Brother, lift.
Sounds a little bit better, but you can do better. Use your diaphragm. Come on, folks. Use your diaphragm and punch those notes, okay?
Third verse. When the evil seems the strongest, lift, brother, lift. Lift the hardest, lift the longest, lift, brother, lift. Sing it. Lift the cross and clasp it tight. Punch it now. Lift, brother, lift. Lifting makes the burden brighter. Lift, brother, lift.
You like that? All right, Pete even stood up. That's great.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to sing the rest of them in a few minutes. Thank you, Tonio.
Singing is an incredible thing. The Bible is full of miracles. I want to read to you from Desire of Ages an incredible passage about worship. This is from the chapter at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, friends, in your mind's eye, grasp the beauty, the majesty, and the excitement of this scene. They've come to the Feast of Tabernacles with sacred song and thanks. This is from page 448, Desire of Ages, page 448. With sacred song and thanksgiving, the worshipers celebrated this occasion. A little before the feast was the Day of Atonement, when, after confession of their sins, the people were declared to be at peace with heaven. Thus the way was prepared for the rejoicing of the feast. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 106, verse 1. That song rose triumphantly while all kinds of music mingled with shouts of Hosanna accompanied the united singing. Can you hear it? Their sins have been forgiven. They're cleansed before God. And they are raising their voices in adoration to a God who has forgiven them. And people are shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! Praise God! And other people are singing. But listen. Here, ranged on either side of the white marble steps of the sacred tabernacle, the choir of the Levites led the service of song. The multitude of worshipers, waving their palm branches of myrtle, took up the strain and echoed the chorus. And again, the melody was caught up by the voices near and far off until the encircling hills were vocal with praise. Oh, what a praise service! Now, this is not praise driven by emotion. This is praise. This is praise that is based on what God has done. The minute our emotion drives our praise, we become unbalanced. Emotion will always be held in check by our praise. And that's the truth of the Scripture. The Lord seeks those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a natural balance there. But friends, we have gone so far away from the Spirit that we're in the land of the frozen chosen. I mean, sometimes I stand up to sing and I see people out there, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Church here below. That's not praise. That's not praise. That's rote. That's just going through the motions. One of my favorite stories in the Bible on praise, and then I'm going to get into my story about what happened to me, what spurned this whole thing, is in Acts chapter 16. When Paul and Silas had been worshiping God, they've been working for God, they were cast into prison, their backs were hamburgered, they were laid open, and here's two men of God. They could have, you know, they could have very easily said, thanks God, we go out and work for you, you let this happen to us? Is this the way you treat your kids? What does the Bible say? Verse 24, who having received such a charge, this is the jailer, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now not only are they beaten, hamburgered on their backs, now they're laying in maybe prisoners' excrement, rat dung, rack, whatever, little animals running all over them, their feet are up so it's painful. And what do? And at midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now look at, and the prisoners heard them. It wasn't just, hey Paul, let's sing a song. Oh, that's a good idea. What do you want to sing? No. They said, we're here. We're going to praise God. This is His tabernacle. And they began to praise God with a voice of thanksgiving like these prisoners had never heard in their lives. And it made such an impact It made such an impact. Look what happened. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. God responds to praise. God said, if these two men will lay there and give me glory after what they've been through, I'm going to glorify them right now. Friends, how many blessings do we miss in our lives? Because when the temptation comes, the very moment we should be singing, the very moment we should be praising, we're going, oh no, what do I do now? How could this happen to me? We're on the wrong side of the fence. The Bible says in Luke 22:44, and being in agony, Jesus prayed all the harder. Friends, it's not when you're feeling good you sing praise, although it's good too. It's when you don't feel like singing praise. That's when it works. That's when it does something in your body. That's when it does something to your character. That's when it does something to your spirit. That's when it ascends to heaven and God says, I can honor their faith. And God sends a huge earthquake. Now you all know, what does every prisoner in prison want to do? Want to bust. Now, the Bible says in verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the doors were open, and everyone's bands, not just Paul and Silas, everyone's bands were loose. Why didn't those guys escape? These fellas didn't escape because they had seen a power in praise they had never witnessed before. And they said, we can't cross these guys. They know something we don't know. And Paul stood there and said, no one leaves. We get a jailer to baptize. And they all stayed. What would have happened if Paul and Silas had just been going, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. You wouldn't have seen the miracle. And friends, I want to say it again. How many of us are missing miracles in our lives? Because we are not in the habit of praising God. When my cancer came back, shocked everybody. My doctor was shocked. I was shocked. God worked a miracle. I thought I was just having low back pain from a previous back surgery that I had had years ago. I was playing racquetball. I was going to the chiropractor every day, getting my back adjusted. Friends, I could very easily have been a paraplegic today. But that chiropractor hitting my back, and I had 5 tumors growing in my spine. Four tumors in my spine. 2 in my liver, and 2 in lymph nodes in my low back. There's only one thing worse than having the word Dane Griffin attached to cancer. And that's having the word terminal attached to it. Now, terminal is not a very nice word when it comes to cancer. The way I look at it is this. Terminal is a place you catch a train. I'm waiting for my next train. God knows which train I need. I'm just waiting. Whatever train God wants me on, that's what I'm going to be on. But I have learned in this experience, faith is not, faith is not an outcome guarantee. faith gives you power for the journey, regardless of where it ends up. And as you go through the Bible, you'll see that God many times says we must go from faith to faith. Stand fast in faith. Be true to the faith. Well, if faith was easy, why would it be so hard? Friends, faith is tough. And I remember one night, I have a far infrared sauna that I have upstairs at my house. We did some research and saw that this is a particular modality that has some promise. Full body hyperthermia with far infrared radiation seems to have some good cancer killing capability. So I sit in a 130 degree sauna once a day for 30 minutes. Well, this sauna has speakers in the top of it and it has a CD player. And I'll put on the Messiah, or I'll put on, you know, Christian music, or I'll put on some nice classical music. Well, this one particular evening, where my life changed this evening, I was sitting in the sauna, and I put on one of my favorite songs, which is the Bach Toccata and Fugue in D. You know the one they sing at, the one they play at Halloween time? You know, da-da-da, da-da-da-da, you know that one? And I was listening to this song, and I had it cranked up, and Ellen White says a lot about the power of the will in overcoming disease. She says many could get better if they will to get better. To use the power that God has put within these bodies to claim His promises, to claim His power, to visualize what He's doing inside of us. So I do that as I'm in my sauna too. And as I was sitting there listening to this song, at one point, the guy playing the organ, this hand is doing one thing, this hand's doing another thing, and both feet are doing something different, and I got chills running up and down my body. And I said, God, if You can make a brain to be able to write that stuff, much less play it, You are powerful. And I kept listening. This song was just lifting me to heaven. And I felt my body begin to tingle. And I just started, I can't describe what was going on that day. And then I put on another piece of music, another classical piece that I like to listen to. That's a beautiful piano concerto. And it was the same thing. And it was just lifting me to heaven. And when I got out of, I opened the door to get out of the sauna. And all I can say is I went, praise the Lord! My wife was sitting in the office. She said, what? I said, praise the Lord! And for the next 25 minutes, I had a praise session to God. I was singing scripture songs. I was quoting Bible verses. And Pastor, Satan was there saying, you hypocrite, you've never done this before. What makes you think Jesus is going to listen to you now? You're just a baby. I said, you know what, Satan? The more you yell at me, the more I'm going to praise God. And I just started singing even louder. And I sang for 25 minutes. Every hymn I could think of, every scripture song I could think of, quoting Bible verses, the thief comes but to rob and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I put emphasis on the life. Friends, we need to make scripture alive in our bodies again. To realize that God gave us emotion for a reason, not to drive our worship, but to enhance our worship experience. You know, I felt the effect of that treatment for the next 3 hours. I could feel it. I could feel it working in my body. And I told Vic, I said, Vic, this is becoming a daily part of our house. We're going to praise God verbally, out loud, every day. Not just these little, you know, oh, I'm thankful for what the Lord did today. Uh-uh. Man, when we sit down and sing, we belt it out, man. Our neighbors can hear us. If it says spirited, we sing it spirited. We belt it out. And I put emphasis on the words. And I want to put that there because God has said He inhabits praise. And my wife told me the other day, she said, Dane, I really like giving praise to God. She said, I'm waking up at night now with songs on my heart, praising God at night. You see, but we've got to get our minds into the habit of what God wants us to do. We've got to understand how God wants us to go about this whole process. Let me just take you on some other stories about praise and faith in the Bible. If you will just write this down, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was facing a huge army. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was facing innumerable odds. He didn't know what to do. He says in verse 15, about halfway through, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now look what happens the next day, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to the Lord so that they should praise the beauty of holiness. That's one of our keys for music, friends. Music should reflect the beauty of holiness. So that they should make the beauty of holiness. And they went out on the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Now look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When did the deliverance come? What does the Bible say? When they began to praise. When they began to sing. When they began to show their faith through their actions. Friends, singing is a way of showing God we trust Him. When everything's going wrong, we still trust Him. When the doctors say you're going to die, you still trust Him. When the doctors say there's no hope, you still trust Him. And you sing, not in a weak little wimpy voice, but you sing with your whole heart. And you make your worship vibrant and alive. In fact, one night, I don't know, maybe I got corny this one night, but I was so into my worship, I said, at the fourth stanza, I said, now all the angels join us on the fourth verse. But that's what happens. You just become so uplifted. Friends, we need to stop coming to church and singing from memory. We need to come to church and sing and worship. Sing and worship. I want to read you a quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy. Listen to what it says. This is Child Guidance, page 523. As part of a religious service, singing is as much an act of worship as is prayer. Did you hear that? Singing is as much an act of worship as is prayer. Here's another one. Councils on Education, 62 and 63. Music forms a part of God's worship in the courts above, and we should endeavor in our songs of praise to approach as nearly as possible to the harmony of the heavenly choir. The heart must feel the spirit of the song to give it right expression. Friends, if you're just reading the words, You're not going to give it right expression. If you're just singing it from memory, don't even sing it. Worship is as much a music is as much a part of worship as is prayer. Oh, friends, Satan doesn't want us to understand this. Listen to this. Sons and Daughters of God, page 179. Listen to this. Let there be singing in the home of songs that are sweet and pure, and there will be fewer words of censure and more of cheerfulness, hope, and joy. You know, I kind of think today that one reason why our worship in God's church many times is less than what God desires it to be is because we're not worshiping God at home. We're not singing to God at home. We're not getting in the habit. Friends, man, my wife and I get in the car now, we start singing. We start singing praise to God. And if she starts singing, I join right in with her. And when we stop singing, we'll quote a Bible verse. You know what that does to the brain? Do you know what that does to ward off the foes of the enemy? Do you know what it would do to our children to see parents praising God all through the day? Friends, God wants our worship to be vibrant. He wants it to be exciting. He wants it to be driven with praise and gratitude to what God has done for us. Let me prove that from the Bible. Do you know that in 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5, just write these down. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 5, there were 4,000 singers that praised the Lord at that worship service. And chapter 23, verse 30 says they praised Him morning and evening with praise. And Psalm 9, verse 1, write that. Just write these down. We don't have time to go and read them all. I'm going to read just a few of them. In Psalm 9, verse 1, David said, I will praise You with my whole heart. Now, if you want to see what praising with a whole heart is, can I give you an illustration? Watch a football game. When your team scores, you praise with your whole heart. Doesn't God deserve that from us today? Amen. To praise Him with our whole heart. What has He done for us? Friends, I should have been dead a year ago. I'm still here. I shouldn't be able to be preaching tonight. I'm in chemotherapy. But God is good and greatly to be praised. Notice, David also says, Psalm 33, verse 1, praise is comely for the upright. Friends, if we are upright, it's part of who we are to praise God. It shouldn't be a forced thing. Now, it's going to start out that way. If we're not in the habit of praising God, we may have to force ourselves. I had to force myself a while to praise God. I remember one night, after the third night after I had that little praise session that lasted about 25, 30 minutes, I got out of my sauna and I went downstairs and said, I don't need to praise God tonight. I got in my bathtub, and as I was sitting there, the Lord just said, why not? What's different about tonight, Dane? So you know what I did? Praise the Lord! I started praising the Lord. And my wife sits upstairs listening, and every now and then she'll answer me. It's like the children of Israel singing songs back and forth. It's great. Praise is comely for the upright. David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. That's where I want to be, friends, right there. Continually, as easy for a praise to roll off my lips as it used to be for me to swear. That's what I want. That's what I want. David said in Psalm 35:28, I will praise God all day long. Do you know how much easier your day goes when you praise God? Your day just goes easier when you're praising God. You know why? You know why? Because Satan hates hymns. Satan hates Bible verses. Satan hates scripture songs. And if you feel the hot breath of the devil on your neck, start singing the sweet praises of the Bible. Satan will run and flee, and you'll be home free. It's wonderful. Look at Psalm chapter 40 and verse 3. We're going to read this one together. Psalm 40, verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now listen, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Friends, do you realize what David's saying there? He's saying that your praise session may lead someone to the Lord. That they'll look at it and say, I want that peace that person has. And friends, don't be a bashful to sing in public. Even if you can't carry a tune, the Bible just says make a joyful noise. That's all it says. Just like the Holy Spirit adds the words, He also adds the melody. Don't worry about it. Just praise the Lord. Psalm 44, verse 8, it says, in God we will boast all day long. You see, praising is a way that I boast in what God has done for me. It's a way I tell Him. And you know what it does to your brain? Friends, as we stimulate those positive neural pathways in the brain, those neurochemicals begin to be released from the brain that start my white blood cells fighting harder, increase my mood, help me overcome disease. Praise, I believe, is a key to overcoming disease. Vibrant praise, habitual praise, heartfelt praise for what God has done. Look at Psalm 45, verse 17. This is interesting. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Praise is a way we train our children to serve God. Woe the home where there's no praise, where there's no songs of praise, where the children don't see the parents praising God for all that He's done. Psalm 50, verse 23. Now look at this. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. Do you know that praise helps you control your lips? Think about it. If you're praising God, how can you talk bad about somebody else? How can you gossip about a church member when you're praising God? Friends, we got to get our mouths in gear behind the right horse. We make our lives miserable for ourselves, because we're not in a habit of praise, of worship to God for all that He's done. Psalm 56 verse 4 says that praise gives us courage. Psalm 57 verse 7 says that praise fixes us in God's service. Friends, are you seeing the power in this? It fixes us in God's service. Psalm 61 verse 8 says it keeps us close to God. Psalm 98 verse 4, David said, I will make a loud noise unto God. You know, we're so afraid. We're so afraid to sing too loud in church. Friends, you can be perfectly quiet in church and still not be respectful of church. When we come into this house, this is God's abiding place. The God of the universe, the God of miracles, the God who kept us alive for another week is here to meet with us. We should come in with thanksgiving and praise, saying, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Friends, you know, it amazes me sometimes when we say, who's got a praise for the Lord today? People are going, can't think of what to say. I've been there. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. Praise to God should roll off our lips as easily as anything else, because He's done so much for us. That's what David said in Psalm 100 verse 4. He said, I will enter into thy courts with what? With thanksgiving and praise. Now look, Psalm 108 verse 1. My heart is fixed. I will praise the Lord. Friends, this has to be a fixed purpose in your life. It can't be an option. You've got to say, praise is comely for the upright. God has done so much for me. How can I dare not praise Him for all that He's done? It's got to be a fixed purpose in your life. Psalm 119, 164, David said, 7 times a day I will praise the Lord. Wow, that's a good idea, isn't it? 7 times a day, I will praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 147, verse 1. Listen now. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's pleasant to sing praise unto God. Well, there's many more things we could cover. I know there's one text I've been looking for here, but I haven't been able to find it. But it said it's good for us to come into the house of God together to praise His name. And you know, I don't think it's a mistake that the very last psalm, Psalm 150, it's all praise. It's all praise. Look what it says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, do all of us in here tonight have breath? Then we should be praising God. We should be praising God for all that He has done. And let me show you as we close just a few more things. What Jesus wants to do, if you have a garment, if you have a heavy spirit on you today, I want you to write down Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Because Jesus says He wants to replace your spirit of heaviness with a garment of praise. Friends, it doesn't matter how long you've been heavy. It doesn't matter how long you've been not in the habit of praising God. Praise comes from God. I can't generate it on my own. I have to ask God to give me the spirit of praise. and He will do that for me. I also want to read to you. Don't turn there. I'm just going to turn here. Jeremiah 33, verse 11. It says, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord." Friends, when we come to God, we need to bring our sacrifices of praise. God says, don't come to my house empty-handed. Come with sacrifices of praise. If you have to, think of something you're going to praise God for during the church service that week. And start getting into the habit of doing what God wants you to do. And you know what this does? I want to show you now a key. Turn back to Romans chapter 4. And you're going to see how this all fits together. Talking about Abraham. Abraham had been given a promise that he and Sarah were going to have a baby. But we both know that was impossible. She's too old. He's too old. They tried a carnal solution, didn't they, with Ishmael? Didn't work. But finally, Abraham got the picture. Now notice, this is my passage of life right here. I try to read this every day. Because it's powerful to me. Notice it says in verse 17, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were." Did you hear that? Friends, whatever you are struggling with tonight, bad attitude, gossiping tongue, credit card debt out of control, whatever it might be, God calls those things that are not as though they are. God can take the worst situation and turn it for His glory if we praise Him. Not after He's worked the miracle, but in anticipation of working the miracle. Notice it says, sorry, I just had this runny nose. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Friends, according to the medical community, I have no hope, but I'm believing against hope. Because God calls those things that are not as though they are. If we praise Him before the miracle comes. Who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Listen now. But was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. How is faith strengthened, friends? How is faith strengthened? Giving glory to God before the miracle comes. Being not weak at the promise. Friends, so many of us have become so used to looking at our circumstances, we've forgotten the God we serve. When David went down to see Goliath, the Philistines had gone out and said, "Who? That guy's too big to kill." David took a look and said, "That guy's too big to mess.
Where is your focus? On your circumstance or on your God? You see, the thing that praise does is it puts our focus on God habitually. We don't wait for the answer to praise. We praise in anticipation of the answer. Because God is worthy to be praised. When those spies carried back, those 12 spies, carried back that bunch of grapes, friends, those grapes were so big, they had to carry them on a stick between their shoulders. You think that would have gotten the Israelites' attention? God was trying to show them, here's the land I promised, look at the size of those grapes. But they were so focused on their gripes, they didn't see the grapes. Where is our focus tonight? I'll tell you, friends, I'm beginning to realize that I can tell where a person's focus is. And I'm not doing this to judge anybody. I shouldn't say that. Let me just back it up. I know that my focus is wrong when I'm not praising God. When I'm letting I had a bad day yesterday, I'll admit it. I felt tired. I was starting to spike a fever last night. And when you're under chemotherapy, if you hit 100.4, you're in the emergency room, and I was at 100.1 and going up. And I said, but Lord, I got to preach tomorrow. Lord, I don't want to miss this. You know what my precious wife said? I said, Dane, let's pray. We prayed for healing and began to praise God. My temperature went, phew. Praise works. It works every time. Well, notice, wrapping up here, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Friends, to the amount that we glorify God, we are showing the strength of our faith. And I'm not talking about glorifying God when we already got the answer. I'm talking about glorifying God because we're anticipating He's going to work. And friends, He may not even give you the answer that you want, but you're still anticipating that He knows what's best, and you're going to glorify Him anyway. Faith is not a magic passport to all your dreams. Faith is power for the journey. So that God builds you. And friends, here's the beautiful part about it. 9 times out of 10, it's Satan who brought that temptation. 9 times out of 10, it's Satan who brought the affliction. But it doesn't matter who brought it. If you're praising God, God will turn it to His glory. How can you lose? Praise is comely. Habitual praise. Praising God with all our hearts is what the Bible says. And then verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, He was able to perform. Friends, that doesn't come by mistake. I want to submit to you tonight, if you're waiting for the crisis to get ready, it will be too late. If we are not in the habit of praising God, we won't be like Paul and Silas. Friends, we must ask God, we must plead with God to put the spirit of praise in our hearts. And I want to tell you something. When we have the spirit of God in our hearts and the spirit of praise, this church is going to change. It's going to be a vibrant, living temple for the power of God. Hey, let's sing 2 last songs, all right, before we go. 2 last songs.
6:44. Who's ever heard Courage Brother? Anybody ever heard this one? Oh, you're in for a treat. Remember now, we're talking about praising God with all our hearts, letting our mind discern what the words are saying so we can put the right spirit into what we're singing. Okay, sister, lead us through it. Courage, brother, do not stumble, though thy path be dark as night. There's a star to guide the humble. Trust in God and do the right. Let the road be rough and dreary, and be and far out of sight. Foot it bravely, strong or weary. Hit it now. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God and do the right. Remember now, we want to get excited about these, remember? So it's okay to put some emphasis on trust in God. It's okay to do that. If you want to stand up, that's fine. Second verse. Perish policy and cunning, perish all that fears the light, whether losing sin God and do the right. Trust no party, act or faction, trust no leaders in the fight. But in every... Okay, here it comes. There's your chance. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God and do the right. Are you getting a little excited now? All right, let's try the third stanza. Some will hate thee. Some will love thee. Some will flatter. Some will slight. Cease from man and look above thee. Sin God and do the right. Safest guiding, inward peace and inward might. Star upon our... All right, here's your chance. Here's your chance. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God and do the right. I love those old songs. Aren't they great? You know, this is one problem I have with the music that's slipping into the church today. There's no message. And when you face a trial, you have nothing to sing about. Friends, these songs lift you. They build you. The Holy Spirit encapsulates you as you sing these beautiful sermons of truth. Okay, here's one of my favorites. Anthony, did we sing this a lot when you were little? Yep. Anthony's not a man of many words, but he plays the violin well. If your hands on the plow, hold on, hold on, though the soil may be sterile and hard. The plowshare will make the fallow ground break, and the plowman will have his reward. Think about the words. Earth's bosom will sparkle with emerald green, and its grain will be golden king. The reapers will come with a loud harvest home, and the gleaners will joyfully sing. Hold on, my brother, hold on, till the prize is won. Hold on to the plow. Work is almost done.
Think of the words, friends.
If your heart's in the work, hold on. Hold on, though the way should be gloomy and sad. A light will appear, the pathway be clear, and the heart of the worker be glad.
Amen.
Heaven's portals will open and music resound, and the mansions of bliss will ring with praise for the brave who labor to save. Fully.
Think of the words. Sing it now.
Hold on, hold on, my brother. Hold on, hold on till the prize is won. Hold on to the plow. Not now, for the work is almost done.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, did you hear the words? Did you hear the words? Listen to that last verse. If your heart's in the work, hold on, hold on. Though the way should be gloomy and sad, a light will appear. The pathway be clear, and the heart of the worker be glad. Heaven's portal will open and music resound, and the mansions of bliss will ring with praise for the brave who labor to save. And the angels will joyfully sing. Oh, let your word, let your mind drink in that scene. Friends, that's worship. That's worship. Preparing our minds for the trial, preparing our minds for the glory, preparing our minds for the victory, preparing our minds for the work. That's praise. May God help us enter a new level of praise. And remember, in 1 Samuel 17, David had totally messed up. He went with the Philistines, came back to Ziklag. Everyone was gone. His wife, children, everyone taken captive, city pillaged. David could have said, "Oh man, I deserve this. How can I praise God now? Look what a mess I've made of all this." That's what he started to do. And the Bible says his own men were ready to stone him. But then the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what that means? The spirit of prophecy says that it means that he began to recount all the ways God had been faithful in the past. All the ways God had answered his prayers. All the ways God had fulfilled His promises. Friends, if you mess up this week, encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't let Satan win. He's a defeated foe. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know He lives? He's been here tonight. Father in heaven, thank you, Jesus, for praise. Lord, we better get used to it here because we're going to be doing it for all eternity. The angels sing constantly about your throne. They can't help but praise you for who you are and what you've done. Oh, Jesus, forgive us for how weak our praise has been in the past. Jesus, there's someone in this room tonight who's struggling. They're facing trials. Help them to leave here tonight remembering the words of Romans chapter 4, that you call those things that are not as though they are, if they will be strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Lord, thank you for these Sabbath hours. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've taught me as I've gone through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not out yet, but Lord, you're taking me through it. And you've been faithful. And I thank you that I have learned here something I never could have learned anywhere else. I never could have learned these lessons unless I had to face the issues that I've had to face. Please, Jesus, help us to be faithful to you. Help this church to be a praise-filled church. A church with a proper balance of praise. Not emotion-driven praise, but love-driven praise for what God has done for us. We thank you and praise you tonight. Just ask you to go with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.